is such a great way to just go, you know what, I need to start doing something. It's the beginning of the week. You get kind of sluggish. You feel like, ah, I just had a great weekend. It was beautiful out. Now what? And that's why I love having jiu-jitsu expert, Motivational Monday expert, Jen Zanotti in studio with us, who is freshly back from her week in California.
Yes. How are you?
I'm very well. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's the Patty V Show on WGN. We're here till 2 a.m. when Nick D takes over, and a lot of chaos going on. So I don't know how you handle chaos. So people seem to be confused as to why WGN is moving. You've come in. I showed you the sales department, the programming department,
Yes. The
remnants.
Crazy.
Rob Martier is in another building altogether. Esmeralda's all by herself on the 7th floor. Hey, Esmeralda.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Hi, I'm sorry. We waved.
No, I'm completely fine.
I know. No, you're like, stop. Don't tell people where I am. I don't want them to visit.
I was like, is Esmeralda all by herself?
She's okay. I mean, it's similar to how it usually is. Bob Ferguson will be roaming around up there, our engineer, right? Is it any different? The cleaning lady will come by?
Yeah.
Take care of stuff?
Not really.
She's like, I'm fine.
You're fine. Have you had a chance at all yet to see what your digs are going to be? You can see on the screen what Rob's enjoying over there at the new location.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you'll be surprised.
I'll be there eventually, so
right.
It's not like...
It's very nice.
I was going to say, it looks pretty fancy.
It's very bright. Look at how bright
I know.
I feel like we need to give him like a lava lamp or something, right? You want to dim his, don't you think you should dim his
you
lights?
You and I both really enjoy some nice mood lighting.
Yeah. I came in here right away.
It's very bright over there.
It's a little harsh. It's a little severe. Jen, that's a good point, actually. We're talking about, like, you and I like the lighting. Sometimes there are things that can put you in the mood to get things done. It affects you, right? Things
Absolutely.
Visually, you know, even whatever your senses are that are affected the most.
Yes.
What do you do? Are there certain, like, smells you like to have that sort of get you revved up when you're going to work out or, you know, start your day?
I use a lot of peppermint oil.
Yeah.
To get me going. It's energizing.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, I think you just have to put yourself in a mindset. Everybody has a little bit of ritual, you know, that they like to do to get them going. But, you know, between like having my caffeine and my peppermint and just that, you know, my going through my laptop, like just sitting there going through things, I have like a checklist that I have to do in the morning before I can like start my day and get out the door.
Is it a mental checklist or do you have this printed out somewhere?
No, I have like my to-do list on my phone. Yeah, and my notes. And then I feel better about like leaving the house.
You've accomplished something.
I've accomplished stuff. I've gone through emails, all of that. Then I feel a little bit more organized to start my day and take clients.
See, someone sent me a list of the 7 things successful people do before 7 a.m. And I thought, if it's anything beyond opening my eyes and peeing, I have failed miserably at whatever the rest of this list says. So, I mean, what are the couple of things that, well, let's say a generic for people to like feel as though they've accomplished something when they get up in the morning? Like, is there, you know, deep breathing or meditating or an exercise they can try? Something to feel like they've done some, you know, accomplishment.
I would say a lot of times either people like a regimen of meditation in the morning or at night. So I think being consistent with that and taking 5 minutes before you start your day just to kind of really get focused.
So not what the president tweeted. You should do something else. You should meditate not on crazy stuff in the news. You should meditate like just be present.
To be present.
Okay.
To be grounded. Sometimes when we do wake up, we have thoughts that are going like a million miles an hour. So we need to kind of just get focused, clear, take in, you know, a deep breath and just organize our thoughts for the day and just get grounded so that we can have that energy to kind of focus.
Okay, that makes sense.
And go through the day. And I think lists are a great thing.
Well, even the idea, what you just mentioned, is have the energy to go through the day. I think to even check in and see what your energy levels feel like. And a lot of times you feel dehydrated. For me, having a big glass of water in the morning.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Because you wake up dehydrated, you haven't had anything to eat or drink for anywhere from, let's say, 4 to 9 hours.
Oh,
I don't know what the range is for people, but mine's in there somewhere.
I think having, you know, like I like to have my water, my vitamins, then I have my coffee, my breakfast. I just like to get all of that done. I like to be comfortable and not rushed in the morning. I like to enjoy that time, sit with my computer, go through emails, whatever I need, so that I'm not overwhelmed for the day. But But a lot of times I think people do wake up in bed with that overwhelmed feeling because they have so many thoughts going on in their mind. So I think that's where the meditation and the breathing can kind of help them, like, okay, hold on, I got this. Let's not get overwhelmed. Let's not get crazy.
So how productive is it to open your eyes and just start doing the math on how long it will be before you're back in bed?
Well,
that's not very, all I'm thinking about is when can I be, as do you ever,
I know,
Michael,
bed.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever mentally think, okay, in 11 hours, I shall be right back here.
I'll be right back here.
All the time. It's, yeah, the minute that I wake up, I'm like, yeah.
I start doing the math. I'm like, how long before I can be on this? I love my pillow. I want to be back with my satin covered my pillow.
Sometimes it's one of those days, like, especially depending on the weather. Weather has a huge effect. When it's nice and sunny and bright out, you're like, okay, I've got the energy. I can go through the day. This is going to be awesome. When it's like rainy and cloudy, you know, you're like, oh, I just want to lay in bed and relax.
So you almost in those moments, you should probably artificially jumpstart your day, right?
Yes.
So like even if it's get out of your bed and do jumping jacks or squats or lunges. Or, I mean, like, what is a good way to just feel like, just give yourself a jolt, do you think? Besides getting in the shower, like a cold shower.
I mean, I think getting up and movement, like even, you know, some yoga movement, breathing, stretching, any just like mobility, just to get your body nice and loose. Once you've stood up and you are out of bed, I feel like you then have that energy and you're a little bit more awake. So I think definitely like standing up and stretching and just forcing yourself to get up.
You lost me at standing up.
Standing up. I know. But some people do like to wake up, lay in bed, and do like a 5-minute meditation.
And then
they can get up and move.
I found a 5-minute in bed yoga video. Like it's
beautiful.
Like stretching your legs, rolling your, you know, rolling your head around to loosen up your neck.
Yeah.
But then I forget to do it and I'm just on my Twitter. I've got it. I think keeping my phone farther away from the bed is one of the steps that I need. How close is your phone to your bed?
Mine's right next to me.
Okay, and you do. You do fall asleep with it next to you.
I do fall, yes, because I listen to my frequencies at night.
And not WGN radio?
Tell me. I mean...
What do you mean you listen to your... What are the frequencies? What is this?
So, for like different chakras or like sleep meditations, it's just a nice calming
is it an app?
Sound. I go on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, I can send you a few of those over.
Wait a minute. What?
So you can listen to different frequencies that help. It could be like, like positivity, like different healing tones or, you know, sounds or noises. It's kind of like a white noise, but different ones. You can hear like the bells or whatever you want.
Oh, bells.
Or inspirational. I mean, there's different sounds.
I have a friend who likes the throat chanting. Do you know the throat singing, the monks?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
that.
That's like the Damien Omen.
You have to kind of find what like and be comfortable with.
312-981-7200. Do you have a go-to moment when you wake up in the morning? What gets you started to, you know, face your day? 312-981-7200. Or if you have a question for Jen, you know, maybe if you have a specific, you know, issue you want to resolve for getting up in the morning, because I think that's really where it starts. It starts with the beginning of your day.
Yes,
you know, how do you get a jolt in the morning? 312-981-7200. It's pretty late on the Patty V Show. More after this on 720 WGN. Motivational Monday on the Patty V Show. Joining me in studio is Jen Zanotti. She is a jujitsu expert. She's our Motivational Monday expert. You can follow her on Instagram at Jen. It's Beauty. No, I can't. I don't have it. No.
At JZ Beauty and the Beast.
Gen Z Beauty and the Beast. Jay-Z. Why Jay-Z?
Jay-Z. It's just short. It's easy. Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast.
Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast. And she has a beauty salon up there in Highwood Park.
Yes,
not Park.
Highland Park.
I want to make it a park all the time.
Highland Park. Highwood.
You guys have that great park where you have like the Bloody Mary Fest,
yes,
the Pumpkin
Everett's
Fest.
Park, which the market, Wednesday Night Market, is starting, I think, this Wednesday.
It's so fun up there.
Yeah.
Some great food and great restaurants.
That's awesome. Great
and
time.
Fun people. So your beauty salon is, what's the website for that one?
JenZanotti.com.
Excellent. We were talking about how to get your day started. As you can tell, like, it's 11:25 and I kind of feel like I still haven't started my day. It's sort of chopped up for me. And I'm trying to get back on the schedule because I was doing CrossFit 3 to 5 days a week and I had not gone more than one day in the last 6 months, right? So actually, Esmeralda and I talked about this one day, which was setting your clock and waking up, making yourself wake up at the exact same time every day. Mm-hmm. And I started, like, my body started adjusting to that. Like, I was waking up within 15 minutes of 11:15 a.m.
Yeah.
But that also means that some days I was getting 4 hours of sleep. Some days it was 6 hours of sleep.
Right.
Hopefully it comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
Oh, sleep, I don't like the way important. You don't like the way I'm
a bit, you know, sleep is super important. I mean, now they're saying, they used to say 6 to 8 hours, but 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night.
Oh, so six is like not even in the target zone anymore?
I still think you're okay, but seven, you know, as close as you can get to that eight, I think 7, 8 hours a night.
It's a lot of pressure.
I think super important for the body, especially with all the stress that we deal with. I think that's a better way to even be able to wake up in the morning to face that day is when you are properly rested.
All right. That's a good point. Well, and I was reading this article, too, because once in a while you'll think, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine before bed, which means that the effects of the alcohol don't even hit you until you're asleep, which can really mess up your ability to heal while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, I'll just have a little bit of whiskey. People I know, Michael, no one in the present company. No one ever, yeah. No, but you think, because it kind of, it feels
right,
relaxing as you're having, it's a habit. But the effects of it, honestly, don't hit you until later, and you can't get that REM sleep. It disrupts your ability to rest.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I have a friend who takes edibles. I'm like, well, when does that hit you while you're sleeping? That right?
Because
it takes like hours sometimes for the body to digest that and process that. I'm like,
while you're sleeping,
plus you're not even enjoying it.
I don't know the point of that.
That seems weird.
I think you should just enjoy your night's sleep.
Well, and then maybe that's the other thing. The other habits. Do you have like? Do you meditate or do you have like breathing? You know, to sort of. You know, there are people who do like counting breaths or visualization when they try to go to sleep.
Yes. I like to, like I said too, if people want to meditate either in the morning or at night, whatever's easier for them or gets them into that relaxed state. Mm-hmm. But I think meditation helps out very well. And it doesn't have to be a 30-minute meditation. It could be a 5-minute meditation to get you calm, relaxed, focus on your breath. And then you can have a better night's sleep because it's hard to just jump into bed and go to sleep.
Or just focus on our breath, on our voices right now. Focus on our voices to help you go to sleep tonight.
So nice and soothing.
I don't know. I don't want to jolt anybody by getting all giggly. We are going to talk about Springfield coming up after the news at 11:30. Oddly, it's not upsetting news this time, which I don't know what to do with that. Maybe Representative Hartwick will upset us. Maybe Todd will. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. More on the Patty V Show after this on 720 WGO. It's been a bit since we've talked about Springfield. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show. Jen Zanotti, you've never been here for any of our Crisis Corner conversations. Budget crisis.
Interesting.
For about 2 years, we actually had a budget crisis corner. We would invite a legislator from both sides of the aisle or either side of the aisle to discuss what was going on in Springfield. It's been an interesting session because, I haven't been down there to watch any of the fireworks, but from what we can tell, the ERA passed in Illinois. There's only one state left that we need in order to ratify that. Of course, it's going to be a big legal battle if we do that. Mm-hmm. We have a budget. It took us more than 2 years to get there last time, and this year they were like, we have elections to campaigns to run. We want to go home and do that. I don't know what happened. But I want to find out if that, obviously I'm just sort of glossing over a lot of key points. Joining me in studio is the Executive Director for Social Change. Todd Belcour joins us. We have Representative Robert Martwick of the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District.
Rootin' Tootin'.
Rootin' Tootin'. And let me ask you this first, Representative Martwick. What was the atmosphere like in comparison to the first couple years of Governor Rauner's administration?
Surreal?
That's what it seems like.
It really was. As we were coming into the last 3 weeks of session, there was this eerie calm. And the governor went very quiet.
Really?
He wasn't answering questions. He wasn't pushing any sort of political agenda. And we kept getting, we would have updates on the budget negotiations from our budget teams, and they would say that there is good progress and the governor's team is participating in a productive fashion. And we're all like, oh,
define productive.
Yeah. I mean, what? Right. And so there was this, this feeling that something was just going to get derailed, but it was just the longer it went, you know, it was almost like that, the music from Jaws, you know, don't, right? Like you're waiting for the shark to come up.
You're waiting for something. And it, that twitch.
Yeah, it never happened. And you know, we can joke about it, and I can give you my spin on it, but the bottom line is, when push comes to shove, thank God.
I mean,
we needed some stability. We needed to have adults come together and solve these problems. And this is something I said. I was on Rick Pearson on Sunday, and I told Rick this. I said, you know, the adults were in the room. The Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature have been negotiating in good faith to get budgets done since the day Governor Rauner took office. The one guy who was standing in the way of it was the governor himself. And this year he decided to let the legislature do what it does best, negotiate, work together in a bipartisan fashion, come up with a budget that works. And when he got out of the way and then did what he's supposed to do, which is govern, sign the thing, it all went well.
And in the sense, and Todd, I met you when this was all kind of really coming, bubbling to the surface. There was a lot of chaos going on in 2015.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, and everybody, it was so contentious, down to really holding kids, over a barrel and going, if you don't do what we want, we're throwing the kid in the barrel, right? We're just going to get rid of everything that is meaningful, whether it was childcare or services for the disabled, or, you know, even down to Epilepsy Foundation. I mean, that was in April of 2015, and it was do this thing that I want, which was the turnaround agenda. Wasn't that your sense on every single piece of legislation that was going through?
Yeah, I think the representative was perfectly right to highlight the fact that this was different this year because he did not have a particular agenda in terms of checkpoints of things he needed to have satisfied before he acquiesced on anything.
Right.
In this particular regard, it was just about making sure we can pay our bills and meet our, you know, basic necessities as a state and come together and have a bipartisan budget. And it's overdue, but it's something that, you're still waiting on Jaws. It's still someone's too good to be true. It's like am I on shore yet? Am I safely on shore? But I think it's something we should all celebrate and rightly give credit to the legislature and even the executive for doing the right thing.
But what changed? Do you think he's just given up? Like, has he just thrown in the towel and been like, he sees Pritzker coming down the pike and he's like, yeah, I give up.
So what I would say is this, there's a lot of potential explanations, right? So the first potential explanation is, oh my gosh, it's an election year and no one wants to go without a budget on an election year. And there's definitely some truth to that.
Right.
Whether or not that was the motivating factor or not, I can't really say. But the one thing I do know is that for the first time since he really began his administration, he has finally sort of disassociated himself from a radical element in our government that was pushing for all of these items. This is led by the whole group of Illinois Policy Institute, right? And so he had them, you know, he was tied to the hip of them when he got into office, and then he purged his initial staff and hired all the Illinois Policy Institute people, and then after that went catastrophically bad, he finally fired all of them and started all anew. And so, you know, maybe I'd like to think that maybe he realized he came around to, you know, I mean, you've heard me on your show a lot of times. I've always said he's a very smart guy. Nobody can argue that. And maybe it just took him a couple of years to realize that what he was doing was not helpful for the state of Illinois. And as I've always criticized him, maybe he decided to actually govern. And that's what he's supposed to be doing from the get-go.
Do you get the sense, Todd, that he's decided to govern? Because it seems like he's just been silent for the most part.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in his war room. So I think there's certainly a lot of political calculation that's being made in terms of even acquiescing to a lot of things that he was ardently opposed to as recently as, you know, 6 months ago. So I think he's making a decision he thinks is necessary to put himself in the best light. I'm not necessarily certain if this is all motivated by putting Illinois in the best light, but I think time will tell. We have the next 6 months to see what sort of campaign approach that'll yield from the balanced budget. And at the same time of him having to absorb the fact that he's embracing the tax increase.
That'd be such a strange campaign ad, won't it? With like, look, I got the budget passed. Really? is that like the tact you think he'll
take?
Well,
he already has, and I mean, the press conferences that he's had, he's taken great credit for it. He's also taken credit for, you know, holding the line on, you know, the Democrats would have done bigger tax increases, and, you know, so, like, he's taking credit for everything the budget is. And his I was part of some of the meetings in my role as the chairman of the pension committee. There were a couple of interesting pension provisions that were done that I think are good in the end. I'm actually quite proud of them. Something that another regular guest here, Mark Batnick, and I worked on together.
Again, I like to think that your collaboration started right here on our show and went on in our green room.
Well, there's no doubt that was that like furthered along. Yes.
I think that I like to credit the Patty Vasquez
right
show with bringing you two together. You know, making you guys see that you weren't that far apart on. Well, that was kind of the point of doing the Budget Crisis right. Corner was having. You know, I had Will Guzzardi and General Harris in the same room. I mean, I try to get people who were like not necessarily diametrically opposed, but kind of interesting, you know,
ideologically, ideologically opposed, but yet willing to talk and work things out.
And that's what
And that's what you really did. That was great during that, you know, that really did help spur conversations. I think that's important stuff.
I'll take that. I'll take that as a win for the Pretty Late Show.
But how was that as an approach, though, to like, demonize what actually wasn't even on the table in the first place. To say, see, I fought to make sure there's no new taxes, but that wasn't even an actual proposal.
Well, and, you know, I'm happy for this change. I'm happy that we have a budget. I didn't expect them to completely change his stripes, so, you know,
it's hard to tell what his stripes are. We need to take a break here. Before we do, I want to say to the 630 that was me typing back. I have the text screen open now. So thank you so much for listening from the 630. I won't say your name. And cheers to you as well. Let's take a quick break here. If you want to join our conversation, we would love to hear from you by either calling us or texting us at 312-981-7200. I should have gotten Representative Batnick on the line. I feel bad for not getting a chance to reach out to him. I'll message him during the break and see.
Yeah, we'll wake him up.
It's a late night call thing. Can we get that back?
No, I'm not allowed to make outgoing phone calls. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to that number. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It's Monday night. I know you're starting out the week and you're like, oh, let's just chill and relax to the Patty V Show on WGN Radio. Maybe she'll help me go to sleep. Wrong! It's not necessarily my job. I don't want you to fall asleep. My advertisers are like, who's listening to your show? I'm like, no, you can build your brand and tell your story and sell your products. They're not sleeping.
Listening audience.
This is what, we have our friend Davide in Italy. We have our friends in South Africa, and we had someone listening in Jerusalem. We've got our friend in Switzerland. We have people all over the world. We have our friend in Wheaton. We are, Wheaton is on the, that's important
listener. Less exotic environment, but also important.
That's amazing. But I could drive to Wheaton and say hello to my friends. Right. Joining me in the studio is Jen Zanotti. She is our jujitsu expert, and she could kick all of our butts, is what we're saying.
Certified.
Maybe, I don't know.
I really do need to come to your... we want to do another class with you.
Yes.
Do you guys want to jujitsu?
We have to.
Yes. Do you want to learn
that sounds amazing. As long as I'm not at the grapple, I just learn from a distance.
No.
We have to do a part two.
Yes, we need to do
a part two.
Yes.
I was thinking about that on the way over here tonight.
I love that you have an all-women's class. You have some young ladies who are doing the class, and I wonder, Rep, you have a young son is he two yet? Is Robbie Bobby two?
He is 21 months.
Okay, so almost
closing in on.
Okay, what do you? Because Griffin has been doing martial arts since he was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. When a kid tells you, "Mommy, what do you think God thought about dinosaurs?" And I was like, "I don't know. Maybe he wanted to make some of them fly." And he's like, "It's not how it happened. He made the Big Bang happen, so all the primordial ooze had the deoxyribonucleic acid present." And I was like, you're going to need martial arts.
Oh, my gosh.
Because people are going to kick your ass.
That was about 32-syllable words.
Oh, deoxy...
words.
Well, apparently I'm saying deoxyribonucleic acid wrong, and he's corrected me, and I can't get it. Like, It took me since he was 5, which is 9 years ago, to say that much.
That is crazy.
He's like,
I love that.
DNA, mommy. Do you have any, I wanted him to play baseball. You probably want him to play music. I know you have him with, you know, so much music in his life.
Yes. Of course, I'd love for him to play music, whichever instrument he chooses. That would be fun.
Guitar.
Yeah, you know.
Whatever you want, guitar.
Yeah, exactly. I play guitar. That's my thing. So, but you know, I I love all instruments, so anything would be good. But no, sports-wise, you know, I don't want him to play football, right? You know, sure. I don't want that CTE, whatever you call it, the concussion thing. I don't want that going on. So, you know, baseball would be cool. Sure. I don't care. You know,
soccer.
Tennis,
soccer's good.
Soccer.
If I could, more concussions than football.
What does? Soccer does? That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Swimming. I would, if I could say anything, it's something you can do for the rest of your life. Tennis as well.
Tennis
golf,
is cool. Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu, I'm guessing, for the rest of your life.
You could do, of course.
Who's the oldest jiu-jitsu competitor you've ever seen?
Oh, competitor? I don't know. They had to be probably in their, like, 70s.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's incredible.
Yeah. We have a guy at the gym who's in his 60s.
Really? Okay.
He just retired, and now he's doing jiu-jitsu full-time. He's a blue belt. He's amazing. Stu, I love him.
Oh, before we go on, because I need to talk about something very important, and I don't care how oversaturated my show has been with this topic. So you binge-watched Cobra Kai. Are you too familiar with the series on YouTube?
Heck yeah.
You talked about it the last time I was in studio. I'm dying to watch it. I was kind of busy the last month.
Oh,
so
I understand that you were busy, but
I can't afford to take on any more shows.
No, but this is a half hour each episode.
It's
so
quick.
5 hours. You're done.
No, but how many episodes?
Ten.
Ten.
That's
5 hours.
But here and there, you watch.
An
hour
here. No, that's
how
this works, Patty. You know that.
Oh,
you
is
watch
it good?
One show,
it's
you're like,
worth
oh, this is awesome.
It.
You just like nod off and wake up at 3 a.m. You're still watching it.
It was so good. We watched it. Uh-huh. I was in California the past week, and I mean, what else do you do when you're prepping for a jiu-jitsu tournament like Worlds? You watch Cobra Kai, and it was incredible.
Incredible. I love the message of it. Not that I've watched it a couple times, but there is something there's something wonderful about these. Now, you know, Cobra Kai in The Karate Kid was this menacing, evil, bloodthirsty, strike first, hurt them, right? Sort of an idea. And then, Mr. Miyagi was about balance and about centering yourself.
Peace, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's something about having both as an example of how to adapt to your reality right now. And Johnny Lawrence and Cobra Kai is kind of like flip the script.
Yeah,
You don't like how things are going.
Don't ruin it though. Like I haven't seen it.
I'm just saying.
Let me get into it.
He's not. Look, it's.
Let me be like surprised.
There's no redemption
amazing.
Yet for the bully. But there's something to
but
learning
you're understanding
about.
Understanding more.
Yes.
About him.
You're giving a lot of hints.
All right, I will stop there.
I will watch it. I promise.
Yeah, sweep the. Are you ever on the floor of the General Assembly and just want to sweep the leg just a little bit? Rep, just do a crane.
That's my friend's favorite.
Definitely want to do the crane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were there any moments this session where it were kind of more absurd than you could have imagined, or was it kind of par for the course this year?
Listen, you don't have to go very long in the Illinois General Assembly without finding a bit of absurdity. So there were certainly some moments where people got up and spoke on the floor on certain issues. The ERA was one. When there were certain representatives who were arguing that this would be bad for women because they would lose all of they're saying that women get all these advantages in government, and now it'll equal playing field, so that will all go away. And it was like, so really, really weird stuff. It was, so they're saying that the best way to protect women is to vote down the ERA, which was like, what? Did you actually say that out loud? So there was some absurdity, but again, it was a pretty quiet.
It seemed
session.
That way.
It was
I told
really
you to
quiet.
Let me know if there was any reason to hop on
there
the train.
Was
no one told me to hop
there
on the
some
train.
Fireworks.
I like to think that the best moment of the session was when I delivered calculators to all of my Republican colleagues on the other side of the aisle. I had a little fun with that.
Well, I want to find out about that after the news. Let's take a break, and I want to find out from Todd what were some of the key moments and legislation that you were, any bills that you were running that you want people to know about. We are in studio with Todd Belcourt, the executive director for Social Change. We have. Am I getting all that? You can add to that. I know I've got the truncated.
Founding partner of
Sol. What was that?
Founding partner of Sol.
Yeah, you have a startup company now.
Yeah.
What is this? Well, tell me.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after.
I'm a tease with that. Representative Robert Martwick, Jen Zanotti, all in studio. And again, hi to our friend in Wheaton. More to this on 720 WGN and the 847 and the 301. Glad you're all here. It is now now past midnight, which means it's Tuesday morning. So let's reset, reintroduce our guests this evening. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. On the Patty V Show, we have Jen Zanotti. She is a jiu-jitsu expert. You can actually sign up for classes at Serafin Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Evanston. And she just came back from Long Beach, California.
Yes, I did.
And
at the Worlds tournament.
At the Worlds.
Yeah.
I think, okay, Representative Robert Martwick, have you ever done any sort of martial arts or one? I know you've done, like,
I competed in Shotokan karate when I was in college.
Okay. Daniel's son?
Nice, yeah.
Something like that.
Chairman? Yes.
Do you ever get the gi out and, you know, pull
No. Not for a long time. No. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, but
not your thing anymore. It doesn't drive you. It's not what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, it's like anything else in my life. My involvement in politics has been all consuming, and pretty much everything else has been cut out. So I save a little time for my wife and my son, and
fair.
Not much time after that. Hit the treadmill 3 times a week, you know.
Fair enough. And Todd, you're consumed by a lot of the work that you do, as well. Do you have any hobbies? Do you have time to like work out or play music?
Play music. Wow, it's the low bar here.
I don't know. Not like push
a
button.
Do you talk to people in your spare time? Are you trying any of that stuff here and there?
You burn the candle on all three ends.
I do.
Yes.
I do. I was actually, during a commercial break, I was lauding Gen Z for everything she's doing is really focusing on helping others and empowering others, and that's something that I try to focus on as well. So when you get that in your spirit, it kind of possesses you and you can become obsessed with it. So, of course, when my friends are going through something that happens to be an event where they go out, and I can enjoy that in that capacity. But otherwise, I'm happy to spend time doing the things that help others.
Well, I know one evening I invited you to a Selena tribute band at the House of Blues, and you were like, my lady says no, which I thought was, you made time for your woman. She did
that
not.
Was a while ago now.
Oh, all right then. Oh, I see.
Now I'm back on the podcast circuit.
Well, then I guess you should have come out to, it was a great night. We had the opera box at the House of Blues. And
I was so upset that I couldn't go.
No, I'm joking. I do appreciate the invitation.
No,
that
I'm just.
Like a wonderful event.
I'm teasing you. And speaking of the singles only podcast, comedian Paul Farvar Esquire joins us in studio.
I am here. Yeah. I am here.
You sound confused by your own existence. I am here.
I'm here. I don't have any honorable things that I do. I just try to make people laugh so I can find love that my parents didn't give me.
You are an accomplished attorney. Has transitioned into a career of comedy and made a name for yourself.
Accomplished comedian.
Yeah. You're an accomplished comedian. You are a podcast host.
You bring people.
I am
you're a
podcast
musician.
Host.
I mean, like, I think it's always funny, Jen. Don't you find it amusing when people? I guess I do this too. When you're like people, and especially because of social media, they see what we're up to. They right. see all the things that we're doing. And when you go, oh, I can't believe what you do. They're like, this is nothing.
I was just doing that,
right? Because you do that.
Doubling down.
You're motivating people. You're competing. You're teaching. You know, and don't. I mean, we shouldn't undersell what we do. And not that you just sound boastful of it, but you just go, thank you. I really love what I do. And I think Representative Martwick mentioned that with politics and how consumed. But like being consumed and being passionate, I think it's that you're being passionate about it, and you're committed to it. Right?
No doubt. I mean, somebody asked me about the Cubs the other day, and I love the Cubs, and I love sports, and I used to be one of these super fans. Like, I knew everything about every Chicago team, and
yeah.
I just don't. And it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I'm not happy when they win, but I don't have time to know all the rosters and the stats and all that. I'm trying to solve budget problems and fix the pension system, and you know. So that's.
Well, I'm not doing those things, but I don't know the roster. Paul, are you up to date on all the how the Cubs are doing? And
I usually don't start till June, and then June 1st was Friday, which I started, and I did watch. I had shows all weekend, but I would go in the green room and watch the games, and they swept the Mets, which was a good weekend.
Can I say yesterday was fascinating? I was listening to the radio, and I heard that the Cubs had won 7-1. And yet struck out 24 times.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an amazing
what?
Game.
How is that possible?
It was 1-1, and then they top of the ninth, they scored 6 runs. So it's crazy.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's the key. You can strike out as long as you don't let them score anything either.
Right.
That's all good.
Apparently.
What's your go-to for watching sports? Are you baseball? Are you Jen? Are you basketball?
I mean, I'm so consumed with jujitsu.
There you go.
See? Sure. Passionate about.
Yes.
Consumed makes it sound like it's like a flesh-eating disease.
It's my love. I take up all my time.
It's your passion.
I don't mind. Yeah. I don't have anything that I'm really following about. Yeah.
I'm not really. I think this. I don't know what it is. I have a little bit of ennui. I have a little bit of like, meh. I could take it or leave it for everything. Kind of everything right now. Which means I just don't have I can't put a name to it. I just don't have. I'm not excited about anything except maybe my boys. My boys are.
You have awesome boys.
I do have awesome. We talk about Declan, and I know that there are people who are on these social media sites about broadcasters. And one of the things that they don't like about this show is that I'm always talking about sick kids. Meaning that when I talk about Declan, that I'm having like a pity party, right?
And it's not talking about a sick kid.
He's not a sick kid. He has, he's built differently. He has part of his brain missing. But here's why I want to bring it up. Declan had his last day, and you give your thank you cards and gift cards to the caregivers. And when you have a child who doesn't speak, he's 12 years old, he's a big kid, he can't go to the bathroom by himself. So there are a lot of people who participate in Declan's day. And we wanted to make sure that they knew that we cannot thank them enough for making sure that he's happy, that he's safe, that he's clean, and that he is doing all the things that it takes to be in school and learn things. So we gave them all gift cards, and the one woman, like one of the bus drivers, started crying, and like aww. And she was like, she's not going to see Declan for 2 weeks, and she goes, I'm really going to miss him. And Steve aww. And I don't always take in the fact that Declan affects the people. Like, this has been the same thing since he was 3 years old and started at his elementary school. Like, everyone always knows who Declan is.
Aww,
and there's something like silently beautiful about him, and he draws you in. And then we got a gift bag. One of the teachers had taken our gift card, and she just bought gifts for Declan and gave it back to us. And I've never seen that with teacher.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
She bought him a t-shirt and a book and this sensory ball. And we were like, that was for you. And she just wanted to give something. And I can't think. So if people wonder, why do I got to talk about Declan so much? I wish people saw him the way his aides do and his teachers do. When we go to the playground, I was on the phone the other day, representative with Senator Katowski, and I had my speakerphone on, and there were 6 kids who saw Declan walk up to the playground, and he has a chew tube, which he uses to regulate his communication, because he gets really frustrated. He can't talk. He'll bite his finger. He'll headbutt. But this chew tube redirects him and calms him down. And there were 6 kids, like a half circle around us, and they were all staring at us. And like, I'm so used to it. And Declan is so oblivious to it. And they were all staring. And finally, one of the kids goes, why is he chewing on that? And I stopped and I said, would you like to know his name first? I get that you can ask your questions, mm-hmm. but why don't you ask me what his name is first? And then we can have a conversation. And I explained mm-hmm. why he has it. Because Declan used to grind his teeth. He popped out 2 of his baby teeth when he was 4 years old. Oh, yeah, because he would grind so hard with that. He loved the sense of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, so I understand. Again, I get the consumed thing. I'm consumed by my boys. Griffin is going to go to high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I know. He's going to be as tall. I'm hoping he's as tall as you. He wants to be as tall as you, Todd. No offense to the gentleman in the room or Jen.
No, that's fine.
Well, I'm 5'6".
Unlike me, he can afford first class. Always comfortable. Otherwise, he has to be a trapeze artist when he goes there.
Yeah. You're not kidding about that. He's taller than me. I'm 5'6", and Griffin is about an inch taller than I am. which is, it's, and some other, some moms get very teary-eyed about that. It was one of the most glorious things to be eye-to-eye with my son, this little boy I used to cuddle, you know, like there's something really beautiful about that too. Okay. Enough about all of that. Let's come back and talk a little bit more about Springfield. Jen, I know that you've got to go soon because you got to get up early for a really... Let's talk about why you're getting up early in the morning when we come back.
Okay, sounds good.
Excited about that as well. In studio, we have comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. We have Todd Belcour, the executive director of Social Justice and something else that I didn't... What was the other thing?
Social Change.
Oh, Social Change.
Founding partner of Sol.
What's Sol? That's new, right?
It is new.
S-O-L?
S-O-L-V-E, solve.
Oh, solve. Yes, yes. See? Okay.
The idea is to provide all the resources and opportunities necessary in your hand for people in poverty to overcome their obstacles and obtain financial independence.
Let's find out more about that when we come back. Representative Robert Martwick from the Rootin' Tootin' 19th Chairman. As well. We have to do a summer party with, we have to do a comedy show at the Filament again. I think we get Rob and the representatives. We do something in August. We have a big party.
I'm in.
I'm just seeing all kinds of things. More after this on 720 WGN. Michael, can you see the Windy City Live broadcast? You can't see that right now. There's a...
No.
Ro Khan was on Windy City Live, and he looks like this move from Tribune Tower is taking its toll. And, like, he looks like how I feel, is all I'm saying. Uh-huh.
Seeing a little grizzled?
A little rough around the edges. No. I'm just saying. I mean,
but that's
like,
kind of his look.
That's the
now.
New look.
He,
yeah,
he has that solid like I've been through some stuff and came out alive look.
This is true. I think you make a valid point.
A little George Clooney-esque.
Oh yeah,
I'm just saying that so if he listens back to the show that he could be like, oh yeah, Mike called me George Clooney. That's awesome.
We have to work with him. So let's go with George Clooney there, Todd. We will. Yes.
All right. We'll do that.
We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Jen Zanotti. What did I say before I said I want to talk about, what you're doing tomorrow morning, why you're leaving
tomorrow?
Us.
Yes.
Early in the morning, yes.
So tomorrow is Cancer Survivor Beauty and Support Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first Tuesday of every June each year. And there's a lot of different participating salons, but basically anybody battling or going through cancer who survived cancer can come in to salons and get complimentary services. So I'm offering services tomorrow.
That's absolutely incredible.
Are you pretty much booked? That's day.
You are booked? Okay.
I have a few slots open, so people can go to jenzanotti.com and book. I'm giving a complimentary eyebrow, lip, or chin wax if anybody's interested. But yeah, it's a day to really be able to kind of embrace those who have gone through this journey and to make them feel special.
Well, especially when you're battling, depending on the kind of cancer and how you're treated, whether it's radiation or mm-hmm. chemo, a lot of people have to go through surgery. My Aunt Linda had to have a unilateral mastectomy, and mm-hmm. she showed me her scar, and I can't believe how we haven't gotten better than that. Yeah. But I will say this. So my aunt is from, she's also from Mexico. My mom and her sister grew up in northern Mexico. And she went to a yoga class because they have a lot of these, group yoga classes for survivors. And she goes, let me tell you something. For the first time in my entire life, I know which way is left because it's much lighter on that side. That's my Aunt Linda. And that's part of it, is having a sense of humor.
Yeah,
but like people ask me, I have a show called Lipstick Mom, right? And they're like, well, what does that mean? And it means that after I had kids, like sometimes the only thing I needed just to like feel human again was to throw on some color.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, going out, going to a beauty salon, going somewhere where you can just like be pampered a little bit is
exactly.
Lovely.
Just to feel good, you know, and have a day of it. And there's so many salons that are participating, so you can go and schedule like a full day of, you know, spa services for yourself. So, and your friends. I have three ladies that come in that are always really good friends that come together, and it's it's awesome.
Well,
so.
I'm glad you're doing that tomorrow. Yeah, that's really very cool.
That's great.
And there was, the legislation that was in Springfield, I think, last year, actually, it was weird because wasn't it Silverstein who passed was working on the legislation for certain types of breast cancer screenings? I'm always fascinated when I'm in Springfield and I see, like, this, like, conversations about why we do things or why we don't do things. things. And it's interesting how when you want to shut something down, we dehumanize it. Is that continues to be the way, and I guess it makes sense in some ways. Like if you're going to make choices financially, we just have to take the human component out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that's one of the things I talk about when I talk about that budget impasse. People died. People died because they
we'll never know how many. Yeah,
that did not receive services, and of course that was a big one. Was the cervical screenings and the breast cancer screenings that were part of our budget that were cut out because I mean the Governor Arnold proposed just lopping them off and cutting off funding for that and that people were denied that, and that was something that we fought very hard to restore in the budgets, and you know we're glad that it's back in full force, but.
When you came in and gave everybody a calculator and said, do the math on how we get from there to here on pensions and everything, people wanted to know who bought the calculators. And I suspect it was you.
It was me, yeah. I paid for it out of my own personal funds.
Did you see those comments? I mean, like, people got to be like, really? Yeah.
He's not using our tax dollars for that, is he? And it's like, well... That might actually be a good use of your tax dollars to spend some money on some calculators. But no, it wasn't the calculator that I gave. It was symbolic. Most of them were returned and they were delivered to CPS so kids could use them in schools.
It's a double bonus right there.
Yeah, you know, and it sort of felt good.
I've been trying to sell some calculators on Craigslist for a while. They're not really.
They're not moving. Cell phones.
So yeah. People are like, "Oh, doesn't he know that there's one on your cell phone?" And I'm like, of course.
"Yeah, but you don't use it, doofuses."
Yeah, right, and that was sort of the point was that you know it was.
There's four words.
We've got. As much as we can celebrate the budget that we passed, and as we should, it's a step in the right direction. What the trajectory for the next 27 years brings is devastating, and we've got to find a way to get our head around it, because if we can't manage these growing responsibilities that we have, we're going to be right back where we were 2 years ago. We're going to be cutting money for higher education. We're going to be cutting money for essential social services. We're going to cut funding for mental health and addiction counseling because we won't be able to afford it, right? So, you know, my message was, it was when my Republican friends were railing against, they were just saying, we've all signed on to a resolution that we will absolutely not consider graduated income tax rates. And what I was trying to say to them was, look, there's a $225 billion math equation you have to solve. Why are you taking tools out of the toolbox, right?
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of taxes.
A tool that's used in a lot of Republican states, my dad.
Darn right. In fact, one of my favorite speeches, and I'm not going to mention a name because I don't want to, because we have a kumbaya moment with our budget right now. But one of my colleagues to the north got up and spoke and said, you know, I live on a border community, and the biggest problem in Illinois is that people are leaving. My residents are moving across the border to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
taxes.
They have higher taxes, right? So they're not moving there because of our taxes, right? And it's you know, we need to approach our problems in a mathematical and realistic way. Otherwise, we are going to devastate the next generation. And I don't want to do that because my kids and your kids are the next generation.
And my kid ain't playing. More to this. Let's wrap up with Jen before we go in just a moment, because I know she has to take leave. So she can do some really cool stuff in the morning. More in a moment on 720 WGM. Thank you so much for hanging out pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Representative Robert Martwick of the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. And we have, you know what, before we... leave any other situation or topic or conversation. We have to explain to folks what it means to have a representative of their state-level district. So let me... Paul Farbar is joining us, comedian and attorney. Do you know who your state representative and your state senator? Do you know who they are?
Yeah, I do. if I have a multiple choice.
And this is not to make people feel badly, by the way. I don't think I would have been able to mend. I knew who you were because of Declan's school. We were trying to expand the school and make sure programs were fortified. I would not have been able to tell you that John Mulroe was my senator, because for a long time it was somebody else with an Italian name. That's all I knew.
Jim DeLeo.
Yeah, that would be the DeLeo, right?
Why not, Jim?
That was all I knew. So, I mean, like, it's one of those things where it's kind of like background noise. So, Paul, who is your state rep? See? And this is not, again, it's not to shame people. Todd, you know, because you know all the legislators. Who's your state rep?
Juliana Stripe.
And your state senator?
Maddie Hunter.
And for people who don't know who their legislators are, where do you tell people to look? Because I was in Springfield, and there were people who were very angry, and they wanted things changed. And I said, well, who's your state rep? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, then why didn't you start there before you came to Springfield to talk to everybody else?
That's the most efficient can do it to change, talking to the person that you're supposed to be the boss of, right?
I mean,
at the end of the day, you vote them in, you vote them out, so you're their boss, so to speak.
And you know, to be honest with you, even beyond that, which is, that's a great motivation, but even beyond that, I really believe that most legislators, regardless of their ideology, we love it when constituents come to our office and engage us. You know, we're a citizen legislature. Some of us are smarter than others, but most of us are willing to admit that we don't know everything about all of the issues that are out there. And so when a constituent comes and finds you and says, I care about this, that helps guide you, helps you make a decision.
Yeah, sure.
And you remember it when the time comes.
Absolutely.
Now, Paul, I know you're still looking up who your legislators are.
No, I do know. I do remember. It's Cullerton. It's my rep.
Oh, Tom Cullerton?
John Cullerton.
He's my senator.
And my rep is Sarah Feigenholz.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm on the border, so it used to be Ann Williams, so I don't know if that's accurate or not.
All right. Now, you were asking for folks to call in, for Trump supporters, to walk you through their support. We have someone on the phone, by the way.
Oh, great. Okay.
Let's see. We have Todd on the line. Hey, Todd. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Good evening. Can you hear me good?
We can hear you. We can hear you good.
Good. All right.
So good. Now, wait. Now, we're not saying just call us to say things. Paul has questions for you because you're calling in as a Trump supporter. Go ahead, Paul.
We just want to know what your thoughts are on the statements today about the pardoning power, if he has the ability to pardon himself, and if he does have that ability under the Constitution, are you still supporting him if he does pardon himself?
Well, yeah, I guess that is a good question in regards to is it a truthful or is it an accurate statement? Seems a bit odd that you'd allow the leader of any country to have the ability to say, well, I'm going to forgive myself of these sins. But, you know, whatever the Constitution says is what the Constitution says. It seems like, because Trump is not truly a politician, you know, he gets enlightened with a couple things once you get into the White House, and he goes, really? And then he says them out loud, which to everybody in the room goes, no, you shouldn't have said that out loud. Like, hey, I can pardon myself. But then his next statement was very truthful. But I don't need to, because I've done nothing wrong.
Okay.
And that's another truthful statement.
Sure.
Right?
So in other words, you're saying he's just saying that out loud. He doesn't mean it, or he doesn't believe it, or he doesn't know enough.
No, I think he absolutely means it, and he absolutely believes it.
Not the second line. I'm just focused on the first line.
Say out loud.
I mean, my question to you then is, why would you even say the first line? If you're like, you could just say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. So,
why
bring up the whole issue of the constitutional issue?
Oh,
well, I think we're trying to get a guy who's lived in his entire life that's pretty much said everything that's on his mind, and I don't think we're going to get him to change in the next 8 years. So that's a good thing. You know where he comes from. All the time. He's not parsing his words. He's not doing a focus group like Bill Clinton would do on every single
word
he
said.
To my namesake, Todd.
Don't even get me started on that horrible interview, but go ahead.
To my namesake, Todd, don't you think there's some value in having someone who's the most powerful person in the world being a little more deliberate in how they, you know, render their thoughts and perceptions of the Constitution?
Some pacing. I need some pacing.
You know, absolutely. And I think that President...
Oh, Oh, no, we didn't. Todd, you're still there. No buttons are pressed.
I understand them.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Go ahead.
You broke up there. Yeah. Say it again, Todd.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I think that President Trump does a lot of things on purpose, you know.
Do you think he did this on purpose? The tweet?
Yeah, sure. I why not? I don't think he saw a harm in it. And I don't see a harm in it either. If someone in his legal team says, hey, you know, in reality, you could pardon yourself if you really wanted to. And they could be right. You yourself said, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true. So why would I pull my support just based on one statement? That's really fickle, isn't it?
Wait, what do
fickle.
You mean?
It's fickle to, like,
separate. The president.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
Right, go ahead.
You asked me if I still supported the president based off this statement. Why would I pull my support based off...
Oh, no. That's not my question. I'm sorry, Todd. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I said, let's say for a second, because, you know, I didn't read it the way you did, but your reading of the tweet makes sense, 100%. But my question is, forget the second line for a second. Let's say he does... they do find obstruction of justice, and he does pardon himself. What then would you say? Would you say, well, maybe you shouldn't do that, or you're like, you're still supporting him? Or is that too weird a hypothetical to consider?
No. It's a fair hypothetical.
Okay.
Because if it's not this president, it could be one, it could be the next guy down the line,
right,
or the next gal down the
president.
Line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we don't live in a vacuum. Right?
That's correct.
In a dynamic situation. So, yeah, if he did that, yeah, I would be pissed. I would be upset.
Okay.
Here's my...
Hello? You're breaking up.
What I say about that?
There you are. You broke up. Say it again, Todd.
I'm a Republican.
Okay.
I said, we've got Denny Hastert sitting in jail, right? And I'm a Republican. You know what I say to that? Good. I'll drive him there myself. Keep him in there. He's a criminal. He stays there. I don't care the party. I don't care the person.
Is it fair to say, Todd, then in your position is, if he does, if they do believe, if he's found of obstruction of justice, or they have enough information and they go after him, you think he's a criminal then? In that sense, you're not going to support him anymore.
I don't support real criminals.
Gotcha. Do you think that the Mueller investigation is a conspiracy?
Todd? Oh, do we lose him again?
No.
Hey, Todd. So that is a good question. Is it like is he only responding to things? Is he being forced into these big statements because of the pressure from this sort of, I guess, black helicopter conspiracy?
Deep state.
Right? So that's why it's all happening.
Todd, is he still there?
No, he hasn't.
Two things that would come to mind for me is, number one, if it was this big conspiracy, you might have picked someone a little bit different than Robert Mueller.
Republican.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, number one.
Purple Heart?
Yeah. But number two, I mean, if Todd stated this in his statement, I don't know if he's still listening or not, but it was interesting. He said he did nothing wrong, and that's a statement of fact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If that's a statement of fact, and he did nothing wrong, well, then there's no need for a pardon.
Why would you bring it up?
No. Why don't you just go sit down and talk to Robert Mueller?
Right. Say whatever you want and pardon yourself later.
You did nothing wrong.
It's an impeachment. They're trapping him to get him on perjury.
That's
the argument.
And if he's going to pardon himself, why does he have so many lawyers? Are they just there to do paperwork? What's the point if he's just going to...
Let's not beat up on the attorneys.
Cannot stop laughing. That's my... By the way, and Paul's like,
There's no worse client than one that doesn't listen to you. Yeah. Right. No matter.
But he has Rudy Giuliani. Who is Rudy Giuliani?
A lawyer who hasn't practiced in forever. He's like, he's a friend.
He's the greatest lawyer in our. He's going to go down in history as one of the greatest lawyers.
He'll be going down
in our time. Until now.
Let me leave that alone. I think Todd's calling back. Let's take a quick break here. He wants to wrap up and address your questions, Paul. We are taking Trump calls. and this is because we're not always seeing the other side of this, right? We get the tweets from President Trump, and it's not landing for us the way it does for some people. Right. Some people are like, yes, and they're retweeting, and you're brilliant, and you've got this.
They like
and
that
some,
message.
And, right, and some people are like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And I think Paul Farvar is one of those people who's like, I would like to know more.
Right. Todd gave good explanations. I think it's rational.
All right, let's be rational again in a moment. And Todd can be joined by anybody else who's being Todd, not you, Todd. Todd,
I'm sorry. 312-981-7200.
I do kind of love the dichotomy of what's happening on the phone and what's happening on our text screen with some visuals of some rumpers, Trumpers. More after this on 720 WGN. It is nearly 1 a.m. in Chicago. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. So it's pretty late. It's not too late. It's not very late. It's just pretty late. Joining me in studio is Representative Robert Martwick. We have comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. We have Todd Belcour, the executive director of Social Change and the co-creator of Solve. And we'll find out more about that, Solve, after the 1 a.m. news. We had a listener on the air, Todd, who we lost, and I didn't want to drop this call because Paul Farvar and Todd were in a conversation about the tweets the president has made and this continuing support. A lot of people love what he's doing. Unemployment is at its lowest in 50 years. Wages actually getting a little bit of a bump. This is a pattern that has been going on for the last 8 years and has been, you know, in many people's eyes, substantiated and fortified by what Trump has done. So
stock
Paul,
market is at all-time high.
Well, the stock market, I've been told by people when it was going well under Obama, is not a measure of the economy. So that's taken out of, I think, out of the framework of this. So Todd and Paul, you guys were discussing.
Tweets. I think we left off on whether if Todd believes there's some sort of conspiracy and if Mueller's investigation has merit. Some people are saying that it's a witch hunt, or he is extending beyond his constitutional boundaries as the special prosecutor. What say you, Todd?
Hey, Todd.
Hey, sorry about the inconvenience there.
Okay.
I think that most of the prosecutors wind up going past their purview. As I said with Ken Starr, they wound up taking Bill Clinton off into the wild weeds. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is applying here. You don't want to necessarily put a time clock on these guys because then the opposition could just, you know, try to put the brakes on and run the clock out. But let's be honest. There's way too much going on inside this investigation or lack therefore of this investigation. And really it's coming up with a whole lot of nothing. On the other side.
Well, there's been
over 20 indictments.
Yeah, there's already some indictments.
Right, we have indictments of Russians who will never see the soil of America. So those are
Americans as well, okay. Brother.
I understand. There's been a couple that have been indicted, and there's a couple people that have, you get inside that investigative room, and they certainly go, "Hey, if you don't play ball with me, I'm going to crush your child." And that's literally what's going on in one of these cases.
They're putting the pressure on them.
On one of the generals, I believe was the name, was one of the people that was involved. And one of the other
Well, there's
people,
Manafort, there's Papadopoulos, there's Carter Page. There's a few people that are in question. We don't know who the witnesses are that are who they're closing in on. It might not be Donald Trump. It might not be somebody at all. But the question is, do you let them go on or do you fire Mueller?
Well, again, We've been at this for a year now, and we're really not getting a whole lot of places with a whole lot of much.
Hey, Todd, how long did the Watergate investigations go?
Well, actually, the Watergate was fairly quickly because it was 1971, 72 when it got started, and he was out the door by 73 because...
2 years?
Yeah. It was 2 years, but his goose was already cooked about a year before that. So they didn't. It was pretty that was pretty cut and dry. Somebody broke in and somebody actually did something stupid. Now, opposed to nowadays, the Republican Party basically went to Nixon and said, dude, you got to go. Nowadays, everybody pulls their wagons around the guy and they hang on to him for dear life, no matter how immoral the situation is. And that's more of a conversation about what our society's like, opposed to being statesmen and being Americans first.
Do you feel like that's happening now, Todd?
I think it happened certainly during the Clinton administration, and I don't know if it's happening now. I mean, Trump's not really a pal with everybody. There's certainly enough in the Big R Republicans are not very friendly to President Trump, McCain, and so on and so forth in that ilk.
Corker, so, Flake,
yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of Republicans who are not in his camp.
Right.
Bye.
Let me go back to the question then. So for the Mueller investigation on your end, you think that it should be wrapping, you want them to have like a deadline or kind of show us cards now?
It certainly is a trick, isn't it? Because, again, you don't want to allow someone to run the clock out on you. But at some point you got to put up or shut up.
And part of the holdup, as you probably know, you've said you know about prosecutors. The prosecutors wait till the end to police officers, FBI, anyone, they wait till the end to interview the higher ups. And I think one of the issues is, should Donald Trump sit down with Mueller? I guess if he has nothing to hide, why not do it? If he's nothing one of the
I think that's a point of strategy. I think you've got Rudy Giuliani saying, let's have the conversation. I think he's the other people saying, you know, you can just sit tight and not say a word because you got nothing to worry about. You know, and again, you know, you get a guy into the into that investigative room, and you know they'll ask you the same question 82 different ways, and then all of a sudden one version of your answer isn't the same as the other, and then they say, oh, we got you lying to prosecutors, and that's a BS. I mean, that's just a
lawyer game.
I have to say, Todd, Paul,
yes,
this was a great conversation.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we had this.
Makes sense.
Todd, next Monday night when Paul's back, we need to have you call in again because there will be more that unfolds over
Something's
the next week.
Something's going
to
happen this week.
Whether
I'm
it's
sure
North Korea or, you know, the rights of
Stormy Daniels.
Or whoever.
Donald
so,
Jr.
Todd, will you call back next week?
Sure, I would love to. I'd be happy to join your team.
See, here's the thing is that like people think that we don't air voices from every side. And there's Todd, there's Paul, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great week, Paul. And Todd.
God bless you all.
Be well.
Hi, Todd.
It's time now for our news. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I swear, Todd Belcour, someday we will broadcast our off-the-air conversations.
I'd like that. I'm not sure the world is ready for it, but
I don't think so either. Michael Heidemann, you are one of the kindest people I know, even though you, in fact, did subject your siblings to Dutch ovens. Okay, Todd, I'm not comfortable with the fact that you know what that is as well.
Yeah.
You have siblings?
I'm a little embarrassed right now. By even
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Indicating that
Paul, you too?
What that is.
I know
at two,
what
at two Paul?
I've never... No, I've done it, and I've been on both sides.
Representative Marwitz also is a brother. How many siblings do you have?
Four sisters.
Okay, I'm gonna wager a guess that Representative Martwick never did this to his sisters, because if he did, then my opinion of him would diminish significantly. A Dutch oven?
No.
Wrong.
Okay.
No. I mean, the way you set it up, what other answer
There's
can you
no
provide?
There's no choices,
right?
I know.
I mean, truly, it's a one-choice, multiple question.
I didn't know what a Dutch oven was. I thought it was like a big cast iron pot that you cook things on your stove. And it turns out that it's when you trap somebody under the blankets with your odoriferousness and gaseousness.
So can I say that that's something that I think is fun, like when I see it on TV? It's not something I would ever want to participate in personally.
Exactly. You know? I mean, like, how do these phrases even come into being, right? Like, when I found, okay, let's just go ahead and say this, right? My last name is of a Latin origin. And when I heard what a dirty Sanchez was, I was quite hurt.
We actually had a show. I don't know if I...
Yes. For those who don't know, you know what? Google your. Let me Google that for you.
Sorry.
There's actually a step further in that I learned on Friday or Saturday.
Why?
Saturday.
Why?
So somebody yelled. I was at a show at Zany's in Rosemont, and somebody yelled Tony Danza to Kevin Bozeman while Kevin Bozeman on stage. And then we're all like, what does this have to do? He goes, do you guys all know what a Tony Danza is?
What's
and
a Tony
then he goes,
Danza?
Paul, give me your Urban Dictionary. I have my phone out because I was hosting. You do not want to know.
We're going to... What?
Oh, my goodness.
If you think of Dirty Sanchez, it involves a...
But there's a whole list of, like, thinking, why are the Latinos brought into this?
Tony
and now,
Danza's
why
Italian.
Is... Why is, I know, but I'm saying, the Sanchez's are a whole category.
There are...
yeah, there's a whole category of it. But why is Tony Danza...
It's a great... I mean, once you see the
Michael,
the definition,
have you Googled that for me? Please.
We're about Urban to leave Dictionary. This building, and I want to leave my mark. The last things that I Google
I feel
is Tony Danza.
That's for commercial breaks only.
Yes, I know. The producers that have come and gone on this show who have had to like completely wipe their search history, it's remarkable. So can you? Is there any way? Okay, so
it's
okay. This goes
I'm
back.
Show it to Todd. You can
so representative. Our off-air conversation is about language, right? I feel like everyone Googled something that I can't see.
Did you do it
very
also,
true.
Rep?
Did absolutely not.
Everyone has been debilitated. Michael, how are you doing in the producer's booth?
Next
doing
subject,
quite
please.
Well,
strong
fact.
Pivot.
Pivot.
Host, please.
Hey, look,
next subject.
It's not like we're in a meeting, Michael. And I'm like, hey, you know that video, Two Girls in a Cup? And our bosses are like, what? And I'm like, never mind. And Michael's like, stop talking, stop talking, stop talking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you know that cultural reference.
Yeah, we don't want them to know that.
I'll never forget that day. I look back on it fondly now.
Yeah, I had to beg. I had to beg both of our bosses. I'm like, please don't Google that. Please tell me. Oh, really?
But that also doubles as the mandate to Google it, that you do understand.
I understand.
And they were both like, yeah, we know, Patty. We're not going to Google it. And she's like, no, don't do it. And they're like, yeah, we know. And then
okay.
15 minutes later.
And right after that, our podcast Two Guys, One Album was deleted.
Yes. It got washed from the screen.
We did not get in trouble for that for your podcast. Well, I can trace all of this back to, for me personally, to one guest who told me about that, about Two Girls, One Cup.
Tony Danza was
here? No, not Tony Danza, but also a movie called, is it Caterpillar?
Oh, Human Centipede?
Oh, Centipede. See, I get this wrong every... Are you not familiar?
Caterpillar.
What has just...
Human like, Caterpillar. But her hand motion for caterpillar was like someone playing a saxophone or something. Yeah. Like, help me understand.
So Human Centipede, are you familiar with that as well?
I am not.
Someone, do not Google it.
Don't Google it. No.
What is happening?
So friend of the show, Charles Turk, who we adore, often makes these references in front of my son, Paul. At the time he was 12, and Charles is all like, oh, it's like the movie Caterpillar or Centipede. What is it?
Let's go with the Human Caterpillar.
It's wrong.
right.
It turns into a butterfly.
Yeah.
Well-timed producer.
So there are things that exist when it comes to, let's say, scatological predilections.
Was that a word?
I don't know what just happened right
what
now.
What?
I feel happening? Like she just cast a spell. What's going on?
You know what? Let's take a break here.
Yeah.
I think we need to do that. Let's do
we
that.
Need to pivot.
Let's do a breathe break here.
No, I can... No, stop. No, there are apparently, you know, a group of people who are drawn to these images and... Michael is doing a whole scrub.
I'm just writing to our bosses saying, please let me keep my job. I think I can make it a little better.
Like, I was advising to move on, I promise.
Don't you wish I had just talked about the C word? More to this on 720 WGN. We take you now to the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where we are having a profound conversation about everything that is important, both in the comedy clubs and in Springfield. Perhaps we will address national issues, and Paul Farivar needs some water. Paul Farivar Esquire, you know where your cough button is. Why are you not... yes, how are you doing, Paul Farivar?
I got it 2 out of 3 times.
All right, then. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Todd Belcourt joins us. He is the executive director of Social Change and co-creator of Solve. We were asking earlier how things went in Springfield this year in regards to the legislation that you found most important when it came to the citizens of Illinois.
My accent's not as advanced, so I just have to look that one right. We offered 24 pieces of legislation in Illinois in particular, and we were told, based on the political scenarios, despite the bipartisanship that we were able to forge and the negotiations and the agreed nature of the bills, we were only permitted to have a certain number of successes. So,
what does that mean, permitted to have a certain number?
It means we're grateful to have one piece of legislation.
Be happy? Be happy with what you got?
That's what it means to us. But for folks who... or immerse themselves entirely into the plights and struggles of people who are dealing with poverty, racism, and other issues, it's disheartening. But we're grateful for the opportunity to make sure that now and going forward in Illinois, that people who have unpaid parking tickets that they can't afford to pay off or who fall behind on child support won't be thrown immediately in jail. And now they have more of an opportunity to pay their outstanding obligations to be, you know, the parents they need to be for their families, but also be in a position to fulfill the obligations to the government and beyond.
So tell us about forming Solve.
Solve, yes. You know, I've been in the nonprofit space for a while, and I was poor for a lot longer before that. And I've had the ideas of, you know, when you're poor, the most difficult thing is to actually develop the network necessary to help you have the resources you need to overcome poverty. And Solve is just really leveraging technology as a tool to make sure people who may only know the few blocks, few nonprofits within their region, to now have access to the universe of nonprofits and opportunities necessary for them to overcome that. So legal assistance, housing assistance, workforce development, educational opportunities, all that would be in their hand so they can self-determine their way from whatever their issue is, whatever the grant may be, to financial independence.
When people think of the sort of social circles in their community, right, it's easy to go, well, why aren't like the South, you know, side people doing better by themselves? Why aren't they? So their schools aren't as good. Well, you know, it's not our fault. Their property values aren't as high as ours, and so that's what you get. It really does matter when you have access to forward motion.
Absolutely.
To other experiences. I went to Girl Scout camp at Juniper Knoll in Wisconsin, and they brought girls in from communities that didn't ever leave their 3-block radius, whether it was from home to school, from home to the park, and to give someone an opportunity to go somewhere else, to be, you know, whether it was by the lake or to go camping, to start a fire on their own. These are things that, like, we take for granted. Like, you can buy your camping equipment and take your family for a trip. There are communities where this is not an option.
That's right, and this is why actually we created the Social Change Film Festival, to help provide a vehicle to help people precisely in that circumstance, where it's like, you know, all this hardship seems so foreign to me that I can't even understand it, such that I actually will vilify or demonize or make fun of it, because it's so hard for me to actually appreciate and understand in my own vernacular. I think the purpose of film or other mechanisms is to give you an opportunity to really transport into someone else's existence and see what it's like to deal with their day-to-day struggle through their eyes and walk, you know, in their shoes and see what it's like to be dealing with issues of, will I deal with gang violence today? Will I deal with my parents being home to provide for me today? Will I deal with having access to the basic necessities to not just, you know, grow and survive, but also be in a position to do the things that we want all of our kids and all our families to do. And you've got, you know, a third of the families in Chicago dealing with these issues. That's why it's such an issue when we talk about two Chicagos, because
yes,
all this is different. We can look all down, up and down Michigan Avenue. It's very different if you look all the way up and down Michigan Avenue from you know, 45th to 85th. So I think until we get to the point where we care just as much about the people down the block as we do as the people downtown, we'll continue to have a situation where we're worried about, you know, whether or not people are actually gonna, we can make it a competitive bid for Amazon. We can worry about whether or not we can actually not be known as ground zero for violence in our communities. We can worry about a day where we're not known for corruption and all the nonsense we're known for, because we're worried about just a few versus everybody.
Representative Martwick, how do you strike that balance in Springfield as a legislator who is representing the northwest side of Chicago, a predominantly white neighborhood? I mean, there's Latinos, you have a lot of Polish, you have a lot of German, a lot of Italians, you have a certain population of people of color. But how do you strike a balance when you're in Springfield and say, I have to listen to what's going on rurally or in the part of Chicago that has the most violence, that is the most economically challenged? Well, how do you do that?
Well, I think that's the one of the great gifts of the legislature, is being taken out of your comfort zone, out of your neighborhood. You go down to Springfield and you cross paths with people who represent this amazing, diverse fabric that is the state of Illinois. And, you know, everyone has a different approach, and some people, I would say many people, and rightly so, say, hey, Is it good for my district? Does it help my district? Or if it's helping somebody else's district, but my district won't like it, well, then I'm going to vote no. I had a bill like that just the other day. These things happen, right? And I get why they do that. But I think, thankfully, that there is a good number of legislators. I don't know, Todd could probably tell me what percentage it is, but I think there's a good number of legislators who are willing to take the approach that what's good for the least of us is good for the whole. And so we try and address those issues. And even if it doesn't happen in our backyard, but we know that when we are lifting up everyone in the city of Chicago, we start at the bottom and we lift up, then it makes everybody better because of it.
I mean, Chairman Martwick is the exception, not the rule.
I was going to say, how does Senator Ryder fit into that mold?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because one of the reasons that we're unique at Social Change is we talk to every legislator, whether it be in the Senate or the House, or whether it be Ives, whether it be Ryder, whatever it may be.
We're saying those two names because they often are at the forefront of the most extreme conversations in these, right, in these pieces of legislation.
They generally represent the strong conservative perspective. The point is, if something is important enough, it doesn't matter what your perspective is. Ideologically, like, you'll embrace it because it's important to help other people. And at your core, as an elected official, like, that's something that's very important to you.
And how's that gone with those two?
You know, I mean, it's gone pretty well, actually, for us. I mean, but I think people are surprised by the success we have because no one else really engages in those conversations because of the reputations that they may hold. But I think Ryder has taken a walk.
I've left my car at Senator Ryder's office, and and I tried talking to Representative Ives, but somebody clotheslined me and said, yeah, you don't want to talk to her.
Ives has voted on actually, she sponsored the bill I mentioned a bit ago. She was a co-sponsor. And I think at the end of the day, it's important to not assume that people aren't going to support a piece of legislation or something that's important to you because of their past votes.
But what's important to people? What's the humane thing to do?
That's right.
You would hope that you would appeal to that.
Well,
and that's the hope when we send you guys all down to Springfield.
Yeah, again, everyone has a different approach. I mean, I usually, when I have a bill that I have, I talk to everybody on the floor about it. I talk to all 118 representatives about the bill. And, you know, that sometimes, like you said, you do it approaching certain legislators thinking, well, I'm pretty sure I know what the response I'm going to get is, but I'm going to do my due right. diligence anyway. And sometimes you're surprised. I was in the bill where I overrode the governor's veto last year to pass the bill that requires life insurance companies to actually pay benefits to the beneficiaries and life insurance policies.
That's so weird.
Imagine that. I know it was a sort of a weird bill. I can't imagine I did something like that. But, you know, I in order to override the governor's veto, I needed to pick up 6 votes, and I picked up 6 votes just by going around and talking to people, because, and I got votes I didn't expect. So it does happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was this before or after you gave them the free calculator?
Ooh, good point.
Before.
Yeah. Oh, so it's totally different?
Yeah.
It wasn't even relevant.
Well,
they
yeah,
didn't even feel
then,
like
you know,
the calculator was promised. And he made, yes, he came he, through it.
I have a gift for you that may or may not be relevant, but it's going to be symbolic. Will you get, will, do I have your vote? Can you do that? Or you're not allowed to say stuff like that?
No, I don't think he can do that.
Did you, like, have the calculators in your pocket? Like, will this change your mind?
TI-85 or 89, is that necessary? What's
Texas
required?
Instrument.
Oh.
No, but, I mean, but Martwick is an exception, truly. So, like, he can talk about that as if that's commonplace, but he represents, like, what we all want all of our legislators to look like and be like.
And there are, I was going to have some phone calls tonight, but I thought, you know what? Who has time? We're moving. We're moving. I don't need to have Michael, like, Googling Dirty Sanchez's and other phone numbers
Tony
to dial.
Tony Danza, don't Google
don't,
it.
No, don't Google it. More after this Google on 720 WG. Thank you so much for hanging out pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're tuning into the Patty V Show on WGN Radio, 720 AM. Joining me in studio is Representative Robert Martwick. How you doing? It's so late.
It's a little late.
It's pretty late.
It's pretty late.
It's not terribly late.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be earlier soon, I'm sure. Also, comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire.
Yeah.
The host of the podcast Singles Only, available on iTunes. And Todd Belcour, who is the executive director of Social Change and co-creator of Solve. And we asked you earlier, so is Solve an app or a website? Tell us more.
Solve is software designed to provide people with all the resources and opportunities they need to go from whatever their grind may be, whether it be poverty or just getting out of incarceration, whatever it may be, to financial independence to help them self-determine their own lives. So think of it like a 24/7 social services agency that doesn't have long lines and long wait and attitudes.
And where do they go?
Solve.is.
Solve.is.
Yeah, and is, you fill that with facilitating job creation, eradicating poverty, different things.
And that's the start, because people can go to libraries and they have access, or they can, you know, get a phone. There's so many possibilities right now for people to have access to information and resources, but they need those resources to be in place.
Absolutely. And the idea is to create kind of like a turbo tax for, like, whether it be basic legal assistance, basic housing assistance, to make sure people and communities have all the information and power to, you know, take on their own efforts and be their own advocates.
I love that you're doing that. And we are in studio right now. So we are winding down in the All-State Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Paul, you've been here.
That.
I know. I'm trying to see who is here the longest. I'm going to say Representative Robert Martwick. Yeah.
Farvar and then me.
No, I think it's Martwick, you and then
no,
Farvar.
I've only been just over a year
and a half. Yeah. A little
bit. Right?
Yeah. Big changes here.
Well, Paul's had a lot more appearances. He was sidecar for like 24 episodes straight.
24 episodes. Well, episode 20.
Here's
this is the
thing.
First time we had a Tony Duck.
I was telling someone earlier, Rep Martwick, whenever I say, hey, can you do my show? I've never seen, hey, I'm busy. No, I'm tired. You've never said no. And I'm not gonna give you the list of people who are like, it's a little late for me. Like, you always show up. So thank you for that.
I love it. I love coming on. It's so much fun to be a part of it. And I love the fact that you had such a passion for encouraging people to be involved in government. And so how could you say no to that? I mean, that's why I live for that. So the fact that you're doing it is great.
I know. And after the show, I'm going to give you a little secret about one of the rides we had back from Springfield, because you can really talk up politics and the Illinois Constitution and what democracy means. And there have been times where I'm like, I've really got a nap right now. You keep talking and I'm going to go ahead and take a nap. But, you know, but that's the thing, is
that,
like,
from time to time.
But I felt like I was there to help you stay awake for driving and it was important. But here's the thing is that we've been doing this show in the Tribune Tower, not just my show. This show is 4 years old. Michael has been here for a little over a year and 7 months.
Yeah.
Michael, can you believe, I mean, like, I know that we are going to say goodbye to this building soon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the history of just this room we've had, and by the way, Steve and Johnny will be here tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love when they stop by.
Oh, they're great.
And we had someone text last week. I can't believe Milt Rosenberg was on this station. And for those of you who think Milt Rosenberg was entirely scholarly or was above the, you know, base nature of humanity, there were moments where, you know, Milt would talk about farting. He might talk about licking. I'm just saying. We had conversations.
No Dirty Sanchez or Tom Danza.
I'm pretty
just
sure.
Just because he didn't have command of vernacular.
No, but he was. No,
but
no.
The interest was there.
No, but his interest and his ability to, like, track down a subject. He was not averse to learning more.
But historically, you've had some of the most significant people in this entire city's history who have been in this very studio. So it is kind of heartbreaking to know that this may be the last time that may happen.
And there's that. Right here, and people can stop by on Michigan Avenue. That guy, he doesn't even know we're here. That guy just walking by. Didn't even, like, wave.
But that's
and that, you know, but that's part of it.
Exception, though. There's people who have been living, and, like, the reason I brought my friend Masai here, because he was, like, you know, Masai, since I was a little
over.
Kid.
Come over here. Over here.
Since I was a little kid, I was excited and always loved the idea of being able to wave in here and have someone wave back to me and represent what the city seems like and feels like. And
pull that microphone
like.
Over to your...
And that means something.
To your spot. There you go. Hey,
so
Masai.
To go from the most accessible place for everybody of every background in the entire city to Lord knows where, it's a big difference, a departure of what the culture represents and WGN represents.
Well, WGN Radio has always been the radio station of the people, right? It's we're not on, you know, we're not an app. I mean, you can find us there, but we're in your car. We're on your kitchen radio. We're, you know, whatever AM, FM radio you have. Hey, Masai, how are you doing?
I'm great.
You've been hanging out for the last 2 hours. Wonderful. What do you think of, like, how weird this is?
I don't think it's weird. I think it's wonderful to have people from different ideology, different standpoints kind of come together and talk about things that are important to them. That's necessary for growth.
And that's what I've always wanted to do here is it's not, I mean, like, I'll have my opinions. I will drive the conversation. But at the same time, it's like, what do you think? You know, that's why we always give out the phone number, 312-981-7200. And as has a point of view, right, that we've enjoyed, like, learning what her experiences are that bring, you know, so much more to this station. Hey, Ez.
Hi.
Hi,
thank
I know.
You for acknowledging you exist.
Yes. No, but not just that, but it's just we're your family. Yes. Ez is your family. Todd is your family. Representative Martwick, Paul, we're all here.
I like to think of myself as the weird uncle.
Don't say that.
But these are those family table discussions where it's like people are just kind of speaking over each other and speaking willy-nilly with, like, some grasp of the facts, but at the end of the day, like, you know, in the heart of hearts, they love you and they care about you. So even if they're not saying everything completely right, you still want to give them a chance because you know they're speaking from a good place.
And we try. And Ez, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think about the times we've been here and we've had callers call in and you know, like, kind of what echoing what Todd said, we've had some people call in you know, that it's about the conversation. It's being able to listen to people and talk to them and explain things and let them explain their side of things. And that you know, if we did more of that in our society instead of just talking at people, if we did more talking to people, we'd go a lot further. Yes, yes.
Just hang out with us. Have a conversation. We can be silly. We can be serious. And we get contentious. We get personal. But it's at the end of the day, we're still coming back and having, you can be mad at me. And you know what? Circle around and go, all right, fine, I'm back. And by the way, Ez, have you bought the Dash, the egg cooker that Michael has?
No.
I know. Like, it seems like boiling eggs is kind of the easiest way to go. How much more do you need?
I do them in my Instant Pot.
Yeah.
Well, I can do a bunch at a time.
I'm just saying. I have my oatmeal in my crock pot. Crock pot? No? Yes?
Me?
Do you have a crock pot? Like, what are your kitchen gadgets?
Oh, jeez. Should you want to ask Paul first? No, I think...
She knows I have no kitchen.
He has a coffee maker.
I'm notorious. I travel too much. I keep very few things in the refrigerator. My refrigerator has condiments and beer and liquor. Like, I'm sorry.
Like mine.
You had rum chata. You had Frango mints.
Those are gone, but yes, I did at one point.
That's all he had.
No, I have... Yeah, I had yogurt, too. I did, and I think I still do.
Yeah, it's not good anymore.
He's not certain.
I was gone about 2 weeks.
You two can learn from the rep, is all I'm saying.
I believe that. That's always been true.
And that means get married and have someone in your life who makes you feel responsible for your existence.
My mom.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Excellent. We have some texts coming in. WGN on-air staff. Part of listeners' extended family, and so are you. Oh, no sad faces. You know what? Change is not always a bad thing. It's moving forward. You can't. You know what? Stasis is death. If you stay there, if you're in the same place, you're not moving forward.
You know, the good news for the listeners is even though you, Patty, have to find a new place to broadcast the show, they don't have to find a new place to listen to you. You're still going to be on 7:20 a.m., you know?
There it is. Pretty much, kind of, sort of. All right, more after this on 720 WGN. No, not Tony Danza.
Tell me that you love me, yeah.
I'll tell you something good. It has been lovely hanging out with you pretty late on the Patty V Show. And joining me has been Representative Robert Martwick. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rep. What's your something good?
Well, I mean, it's got to be, we've got a budget. And not only do
we How did that happen?
I don't know, but not
he
only...
He didn't have one for 2.5 years.
I know.
Nothing.
Nothing. And it was horrible.
No bills paid.
No, $12 billion of additional debt on the backs of every taxpayer.
And then magically, what happened?
We overrode the governor's veto last year, and then this year he sat down to the table and we got stuff done. And it's a good budget. We increased funding for higher education for the first time in a decade.
And a scholarship program.
Yes.
We
fully funded our MAP grants. We lived up to our commitment. We increased funding for K-12 education. And we got some pension savings thanks to a little plan that I worked on. And so, you know, it's a good budget and no new taxes. So
you've mentioned the pension thing a couple times. Can you break that down a little bit?
Could you explain the...
Not the time we have left.
You said you were proud of that.
It is 10 to 2. I don't know. You want people to hang out for the last...
Get your calculator.
That's right.
Todd, where's your calculator? Just saying.
I keep my calculator. Right, math was my strong suit.
I'm a history major. I'm just saying. And if history proves right, I'm thinking things are going to go a little bit sideways later, but we're fine. I'm sure we're fine. Let's just work it out later. Paul, what's your something good?
I am just happy to be doing shows all week. I'm at Zanies in Rosemont this week.
And, excellent.
Looking forward to that. And the Singles Only Podcast hit 100 episodes today. So
congratulations.
It's
kind of crazy.
Who is the 100th episode?
I was interviewed for... I was in the hot seat. Jeannie Dugan interviewed me. She came back.
Wait a minute. So you've never given me that choice.
Right. You can come and do it for 150.
I think I've done my part on the Singles Only Podcast.
Oh, no, you're not done.
I think I've written Shotgun enough times.
No. Are you retiring?
I don't know.
I don't think you have to give us a 2 week notice.
I think people deserve at least the opportunity to be in the running.
What's that?
These milestone episodes.
Yeah.
Wait, has Todd been on the...
He's been on the
show. I've been on there.
I did an interview.
I've been on a couple
I wasn't there.
No,
so this one with Jeannie and I recorded a while ago, and I just wasn't going to air it until it was 100, because it's... And a lot of it's outdated, and so I got in a lot of trouble. So
it's pre-Tony Danza.
It's pre-human caterpillar.
Pardon me.
By the way, from the 224 rep... The pension buyout part of the budget is not going to work.
Ooh.
Just like, I love that there's like a, like, just out of nowhere, someone who has like that in the artillery.
But it's like the emphaticness that he said, that he asserts that it absolutely will not work.
Is not going to work. No caps. So, in fairness to them.
Yeah.
But you read it like there were caps.
I know. But I was surprised because it was random.
Yeah, it's pretty random. That's great. That's speculation. So I speculate that it will work. I like to see the glasses half full, not half empty. So,
well, I'm guessing that borrowing against pensions, people thought that would work too. That was under Thompson and Ryan.
Yeah.
And Edgar. What did I say? I'm just saying, under previous governors. Wait. Can we live under... Let's just go there for a moment, because we haven't talked about the possibility that President Trump will pardon former Governor Blagojevich.
He's going to.
He is?
Odds in Vegas are looking like it.
He's I believe he hasn't offered a pardon. I believe he's offered a commutation.
Commutation.
That's very different. So the end of his sentence.
Sentence will be.
So there are people, and Todd, you're people more familiar. And Todd. People, Todd, you're more familiar than I am with this, that are serving sentences where they were carrying narcotics, maybe marijuana, and they have very long sentences.
You're right.
Governor Blagojevich was blackmailing or extorting a children's hospital. Oh, why are you flinching? I'm just saying, if we're going to carry the balance.
Not allegedly, but convicted.
No. He was convicted. He wasn't convicted for selling his seat or the president, whether it was Senator Obama's seat. Mm-hmm. He was convicted of extorting a children's hospital.
The basis of all these inquiries is whether or not we're throwing the book at people who deserve a less, less onerous sentence.
Yeah.
And I think in his instance, it's easy to make a case, given Illinois' history, while an individual like him does not need to spend 20 years, but maybe 10 years is appropriate. And,
maybe if that hospital was never built because he was extorting it and people in the community could have benefited from that.
I'm just saying.
But he was on Apprentice. Did you not see the second speech he gave on Apprentice season 7?
My life's so hard.